This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 24 November 2017. According to the 25th, I got back from a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with my family. So first up on the agenda this week is that the U.S. dollar index is weakening. If you look at the dollar index basis, the PowerShares dollar index, which is a UUP ETF, what you'll find is that it is falling or testing the 50-day moving average. In other words, the U.S. dollar is falling against basically all other currencies. Obviously, something to bear in mind is, as I say incessantly, the debt markets are the biggest problem, and keep an eye there. I'll have more to say about that in a moment. The Bloomberg Commodity Index is still in an uptrend, and it tested its 50-day moving average and bounced off it. We're at about 86. On that index, and the high is around 88.2. So we haven't got a long ways to go to the upside for a breakout to occur. The commodities index, and as I reported a couple of weeks ago, the base metal index ETF was at a four-year high. So this is something, again, that is kind of under the radar of most investors, even those that are pretty aware and astute in the gold and silver space. But these are key indicators giving us a indication, and a strong one at that, that the shift is occurring, that the equity markets are probably overdue for some type of correction. And the commodity sector at large and the precious metals are basically in a mode of ready to increase. Having said that, I will just finish out that thought, which means that I still think we'll probably see weakness until the end of the year. We've got about a month left, and that's historically what both gold and silver have done for like the last 4 years. So that's the way to proceed. However, those that are in the tax loss selling and balancing their portfolios, et cetera, should certainly take a look to buy back the ones you really favor and be prepared to have a pretty good position this next month. Whether you do it on a single day or you average in, which I would suggest over the next month, be in a position to catch the rally that's going to take place in 2018. I think it'll be at least a two-month rally. It could be longer. And then for the year 2018, I think it'll be a much better year for commodities in general and the precious metals than was 2017. So continuing on with the markets and my thoughts on it, one interesting thing about the debt market is that the 2-year yield and the 10-year yield are starting to merge. And the last time that that took place, we saw a great spike in the price of oil. So right now, the spread between, again, the 10-year treasury and the 2-year treasury is narrowing. If they are to narrow further and basically obtain the same yield, which is basically an inverted yield curve, as we all know, watch oil. And on top of that, silver is very correlated to the price of oil. In fact, Steve St. Angelo has done a great deal of work there. If you've read any of his stuff, and I'm sure most of you have, he builds a very strong case with data. It's not opinion, it's just fact. So this is something, again, that would indicate strongly that we're about to see a shift over the next few months back into the commodity sector. And if oil's starting to lead, dollar's further weakness, and these yields start to get pushed, we're going to see basically a shift. It'll probably be slow and not well understood for a while until it's pretty much mainstream news. But by that time, a great deal of profits will be accumulated to those that have acted early. And the first article that I'll comment on this week is from David Stockman, The Illusion of Growth. He references a Wall Street Journal article. He called it Hopium. And the quote is, U.S. manufacturing rides rising tide, buoyed by global growth optimism. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's just borders on, he didn't say it, I will, borders on or is fake news. Basically, they're talking about this article that the Wall Street Journal said it cited 156,000 picks up in manufacturing employment since last November, rising energy and commodity prices as evidence of a booming global economy and double-digit growth in business investment earlier this year. Basically, it's not to underlie what I just said about these hints that we're seeing in the commodity sector, but what he points out here is that it's relatively insignificant relative to the other major problems that we have. And he points out what's going on in the Middle East, being basically a tinderbox, the tax situation under Trump, whether or not that will be enacted or not, and what the real effects will be. And of course, the debt markets, which is something that he always comments on. He basically states that we're now 120 months from the pre-crisis peak to November 2007, yet the compound annual growth of manufacturing is just 0.08%, which is to say nothing. So yes, I think there's a shift going into the commodity sector. However, it's not because of a great booming global situation. It's probably more for protection. Yes, and some build out, and yes, electric vehicles, but the facts are what they are. In the United States, the overall manufacturing compounded growth is 0.08%. So let's just stick with that fact and move on. And the next article up for comment comes from the South China Morning Post. This talks about the U.S. yield curve continues to flatten, as I mentioned earlier, with San Francisco's Federal Reserve Chief John Williams feeling the need to speak out, stating the next recession and what we should do to prepare for it. And the article goes on, this might seem odd with U.S. equity markets buoyant and other asset prices extremely well bid. Or perhaps there is an explanation. A record-shattering $450 million was paid last week for a painting by Leonardo da Vinci. The scarcity value of a da Vinci painting helps explain why this is so much of the price. However, it's also a reflection of how years of global monetary printing by central banks have fueled asset price inflation. Of course, we see that in the stock market and not in the commodities, especially not in the precious metals. Moving on, yet while $450 million is a lot of money, it's nowhere near the $13 trillion. The latter figure represents total aggregate U.S. household debt as of September 30th, according to data released by the New York Fed last week. So here is the Fed spokesperson or reserve chief from John Williams from the San Francisco Federal Reserve telling you in plain English that the debt really is a problem, and basically, he didn't say hopeless, I am, but it is, and how it'll be resolved remains to be determined. And in fact, what I'll go into now is something that happened at the Vancouver Resource Conference. And at the Resource Conference, I was on a couple of panels, and one of the panels talked about the debt situation, and we all had the ability to chime in. I didn't feel I wanted to add on to this particular question because I agreed with both Rick Rule and Doug Casey, but the question from Marin Katusa was, you know, how does this debt situation end? What's the most morally correct way to do it? And that was the essence of the question. And both Doug and Rick said, well, the most morally correct thing to do is to own it and say we can't pay it off, and here's what we're going to do about it. And, you know, we'll pay 50 cents on the dollar. Those are my words, not theirs. Basically own it. Say, hey, we can't pay you back. We've got a problem. We're going to admit it. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to work it out. And here's, you know, what you're going to get, you know, and they didn't elaborate from there. But both of them also stated that that is not going to take place, even though that's the most best way to handle it, and they'll just keep printing. They, the Federal Reserve, or should I say more accurately, that the United States government, federal level, D.C. Incorporated, will be borrowing ad infinitum from the private reserve bank known as the Federal Reserve until either the Fed decides they're not going to loan to the United States anymore, which is very doubtful, or the currency basically is repudiated or refused or is destroyed just by the common people that basically say, I don't want to accept it anymore. I'd rather have this or that or barter this or that than take a U.S. dollar. Now, is that going to take place or not? Remains to be determined. However, in all ages past, there's been a point where people actually refuse the currency or don't want to. And of course, it's usually forced on them at gunpoint that it's required that they, you know, settle payment in the fiat. And of course, we have the side issue with what's going on in the digital situation with the whole blockchain situation with all these cryptocurrencies. But I don't have time to go into that. So my speech, I'll finish with gold and silver. I talked about how technology is changing the mining industry. I spoke about Hecla Mining and the Wi-Fi that they're using. Hecla, obviously, an NYSE company, New York Stock Exchange company. And I actually did that on the panel, but Marin cut me off a little bit early and said, well, all these big trucks that do the, you know, open pit mining have Wi-Fi on them. And that's true, and it's been that way for years. What I was referring to, but I didn't interrupt him back, was that Hecla's talking about internal in an underground mine that they're sending in basically drills that are with pilotless drills, if you will, without a human behind the drill going in and drilling out areas, or using that same type of technology where there's no human involved to do a blast on a wall of rock to, you know, break it up so that you can start to take it away and crush it and all that that takes place in a hard rock underground mine. And so that's one. I also talked about Laser Technologies, which is from a company that's basically a proposal. Marin, to his credit, said, well, these are all science experiments, and they're not all science experiments. That particular one is. But I went on to one I'm the most familiar with, and that is through the mobile mill process that members are very familiar with, and then how that added on to this reagent that we have with the e-waste primarily situation that is getting better and better and continues to produce excellent results. In fact, during the lecture, I talked about a very good grade gold mine these days producing, you know, quarter ounce or so of gold per ton, and then the amount of gold from 1 ton of e-waste. I mean, the comparisons in this photograph are accurate, and it's just unbelievable. In fact, I went on to state that one of the majors that is helping with this whole process and completing a pilot plant probably ahead of schedule, which is rare in any industry, may become one of the largest gold miners on the planet over the next, say, half decade or so. And that's a forward-looking statement due to the fact that this electronic waste is so extremely lucrative compared to either a hard rock or an open pit gold mine. And in that case, may become one of the top five, let's say, gold miners in the world, having never put a shovel in the ground. Something to think about. We'll be writing on that topic in the next issue of the Morgan Report. I'll be doing an update for members here probably before the weekend's over or early on Monday, the 27th of November. Our mastermind guest for the 28th will be Craig Hempe, probably better known as Turd Ferguson, and we'll be going through primarily the precious metals market. So that will conclude this week's Weekly Perspective. And remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.